Welcome to the Uncivilized Podcast. My name is Trevor Boehm and I will be your host. Every week or so, I try to get myself a fascinating human on the mic for you, someone who looks at the civilized world just like you do and says no thank you. Someone who wants to break some rules, to lead, and to bring their unique vision into the world. Someone for whom the status quo simply will not do. I hope you enjoy these conversations as much as I do. Please dive in. Hey folks, welcome back to the Uncivilized Podcast. This is Trevor Boehm, your host. And if you have followed me for any length of time, you know my good friend and teaching partner, Leela Dilla. Leela and I met, gosh, it must have been almost 2 years ago. She invited me down to a workshop she was doing in Sedona to see if I would teach a self-defense piece. And since then, we've taught in Costa Rica, we've taught in Colorado, we've taught a number of places and absolutely love each other and love teaching together. And in this episode, Leela and I just kind of shoot the shit about conscious relationships. The idea that bringing consciousness to your relationship or having a relationship with a frame that is growth-minded, healing, etc., it's a hot ticket on the market. Right? It's talked about in social media. It's talked about by influencers. People are talking about how conscious their relationship is. But if you know Leela and I, we like to get through a lot of the bullshit and just talk about the facts and talk about the reality of it and that it's not all sunshine and roses, that oftentimes it's really, really challenging as much as I think it is the evolution of relationship. And if relationships aren't conscious, they will be a disaster. Leela and I are teaching a workshop together in September in Steamboat, Colorado, that if you'd love to come to, please check out her website, Leela Dilla, leeladilla.com/elevate-retreat. It's in September. It's 4 or 5 days. I think we are going to take couples and single people and just give you a deep dive into how to create, how to sustain, how to turn your relationship, if it's unconscious, into a conscious one. And as you know, we're not going to pull any punches. So please enjoy this episode. As said, it's kind of informal. She and I are just shooting the shit. We ask each other questions, but really it's in the same format as some of my other podcasts where it's really just a conversation. And if this is helpful to you, please, please, please share this with one other person in your life. And if you wouldn't mind taking 30 seconds out of your day and going and giving me a review, that would be amazing. Wherever you're listening to this, Spotify, iTunes, and if you love this episode, please tag me in it on Instagram and I'll share that with other people and it'll help get the message out. So without further ado, Leela Dilla. Leela Dilla, welcome back. Back, right? Yeah, to the Uncivilized Podcast. You were one of the early people back when it was just unplugged, weren't you?
I was. And we were different people then. Yeah.
What was that? I think it was like 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Maybe even more than that. It was a while ago.
I'll have to go back. So if you guys listen to this, if you want to hear an early Leela Dilla talk, and I remember on that, I was like, I wanted to message you, like, slow down and take a breath. Like, just take a breath at some point in this conversation.
I still talk too fast, so maybe that hasn't changed.
Welcome back to the podcast. It is such a pleasure. We have agreed, just for people listening to this, it's going to be just a sort of a round robin conversation. Leela and I are going to talk about conscious relationships, which they're amazing. And
as you breathe into a bag,
we're going to be okay. We're okay, right?
We're okay. Yeah, we're okay. We're doing it, somehow. Doing it. Yeah.
Finally, just before we dive in, for people who may not know you and may not know what you do in the world, please give us the quick and dirty on Leela Dilla.
Leela Dilla. Yeah, I started my journey as a yoga teacher and just kind of being discontent with the way people were living their lives and really just being like, there's got to be something more going on here. So, and there's always more going on here, which is great. Cause I went on a journey of like, I got to figure out how to actually find some lasting happiness. Mm. And that took me down the yoga world and into different trainings and retreats and, group healing sessions and lots of travel around the world and studying with different teachers. And I'd like to say that yoga is still like a main thread of what I do, but that has definitely shifted towards working specifically with women. I help them reconnect with themselves so they can connect deeper with their partners and with God and with life, because I feel like that's a missing piece in a lot of the women that I meet. And it was a huge missing piece inside of myself. And so that's kind of a main thread: consciousness, connection, waking up to a deeper sense of happiness, one that actually lasts longer than my cup of coffee or the cookie that I eat. And although I do find happiness in both those things, but just reconnecting back to what's real. And just really want our world to be, to have more depth and more rawness and more free thinkers and people that believe in themselves and what they do, and connecting from that place. And that looks lots of different ways that looks in my life, but
yeah,
hopefully that's enough.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate just what you're doing. You and I have taught now all over the world, I think we're allowed to say, right?
Yeah.
In a number of venues and a number of places. And I love how you bring a completely different outlook to everything that you just said than I do. And it's a beautiful, you're a beautiful compliment, and in additions in all your own magical ways.
Thanks. Say the same about you. Just reverse it. Yeah. It's been so fun. Entertaining.
And entertaining.
Yeah. And insightful. Very insightful. But if you can't have fun with what you're doing, what's the point?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Talk to me, or talk to us, if you would, about this past year and your journey and relationship, if you would. And maybe give a 5-minute synopsis of what your relationship life was like prior.
Yeah. So I'm now in a relationship with someone I dated over 6 years ago for a brief moment in time when I was very wounded. And I guess it was more like 7 years ago now, because we've been together for a year and a half now, but we were 6-year break. And the first time we dated, I was a shell of a human, to say the least. And had a lot of traumas that were unresolved and had a lot of addictive tendencies and a lot of projecting my own fear onto him and inability to communicate and lots of distrust in myself. And I remember not really knowing what was going on, because that was kind of the catalyst for me moving into actually getting some therapy and actually working with a coach and actually starting to get my shit together, was that relationship initially. Because I remember thinking and feeling like he was exactly what I wanted. He was giving me what I thought I wanted in a relationship. And the love he was giving me was like bouncing off of me. Like, I remember being like, he's giving me something and I cannot receive it. And it broke my heart, but I also felt kind of numb inside. So the only thing I knew how to do was push it away and run. And so I ran away from him as far as I could. And I remember being like, I have to just go heal this, because it's clear that I'm miserable as a person. And I'm pretending like this relationship is miserable, but actually I'm just miserable as a person. So that catapulted years of healing my own woundedness from my childhood and past relationships where men didn't show up for me and I didn't know how to show up for myself. And communication was not clear. And there was all kinds of covert contracts, and there was sexual trauma involved. And there was so much ambiguity and so much overextension on my part, and lack of boundaries and no clarity on what my own values were, what I even wanted in a partner. So it was just like, if someone's going to have a drink with me and give me attention, I was going to go for it. So pretty much any way I could do a relationship poorly, I feel like I've done that. Been cheated on them, like not communicated, over-communicated, overextended myself, under-considered myself, been in like high anxiety and been total shutdown. I've pretty much done it all. I don't really learn things without experimenting in that arena. So definitely dipped both my feet, dove heads first in that. And then, you know, then I did do a lot of healing on myself, and I spent time alone and really feel like I healed myself. You know, like I healed it all. Now I'm like ready for a relationship. And, you know, and us meeting and being teaching partners and close friends was super healing on my journey of being single and learning to trust men in other arenas other than sexual relationships or dating arenas, which was one of the only ways I really related to men before moving through healing my own stuff. And I feel like I got myself to a place of understanding like who I am, what I actually wanted in a relationship, how to set boundaries with all people, however I was relating to them, which was such a interesting journey to go on and one that's actually very crucial before we enter into anything healthy, any business relationship, any friendship, any partnership of any kind. Knowing who we are before we enter into an arena with somebody is just absolutely foundational. And it takes a while. Usually don't pause to do that, especially women. I'll speak for women. But I took that pause and then consciously entered back into this partnership. And one, because I knew the man I was getting in a relationship with could only have gotten better in the last 7 years, and he was fucking good then. So I knew from like the depths of who I was that if I was going to enter into this, there was no unconsciousness going to be allowed inside of it from my side, because I didn't want to hurt him again, and from his side, because he had already been with me once, been with the broken shell of me before. And if he was going to trust me to enter back into that, I knew I was going to have to come in with like full illumination of what was going on. And of course, we get into a relationship, at least is my experience, we think, I thought, oh, I've healed everything, so I'll be able to do this perfectly. And I knew how to be single really well. That's what I have learned now. And I got to take everything I practiced alone and flip all of that on its head and practice that for the last year and a half, which has just, in some aspects, been extremely challenging. And in most aspects has been the most epic journey of understanding myself more fully and really understanding what it means to live intimately with life and with someone else. And which ultimately just leads me back to more intimacy with myself, because I can really only connect with him to the depths that I've connected with myself. And there's so many ways that that has shown itself to me over the last year and a half, but it's continual and it's an everyday devotion. And I think that that's one of the most beautiful parts of it, because there's no running or leaving, which we've talked about how like that's been our tendency of like, it would just be easier if I just hit on this island for the rest of my life and didn't go back and deal with this, or didn't have to bring my pain or fear or grief or worry or anxiety to the table to talk about or to be with or to have him see me in that vulnerability. But I'm doing it. Fuck and God. I'm not running away.
Wow.
Good. Thank for you,
Leela.
Mic drop for me.
Oh, it's such a wild journey, isn't it? It's such a wild journey. I think you made some amazing points of, I would love to just chat about this delineation. We have to do work to get to a point where I think we're not solvent, isn't the right word, but like sovereign in some capacity. Mm-hmm. But I would also love to chat about the misnomer that I feel exists, that until we are like triple ninja Yoda black belt, everything healed, like I haven't gotten triggered since the 80s. Now I'm ready to enter a relationship. Like, where's that fine line in your opinion of, I guess, if, first of all, I was the same way. Like, I've done all the work. Look, first of all, everybody slow down. I'm going to be great in relationship because I've been to so much fucking therapy. Like, I sat in a dark room for a month. You will not trigger me until like 7 seconds into the relationship. Like, are you going to breathe that loud forever?
Yeah. Wash that dish like that.
Wait, I'm not allowed to get out of the shower and wipe my feet off on the mat. I have to dry off in the shower. What is this fucking tyranny that you're asking me to live under? So I wasn't triggered at all. So if you could just, what do you think? Where's that line where people go, well, you know, I'm waiting. Like, it feels like the new age spiritual coaching relational world is like, go off and heal yourself until you are perfect and then come back and relate. But yet the other side is you don't have to do shit. It's like all about the partnership is what will heal you. The partnership was what will heal you. Where do you draw that line, or how do you advise people to draw that line?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's individual for each person. And I think that both sides have a good point. Mm-hmm. because I do think that there's only so much that we can heal alone, and in relationship we do so much healing. And I think that there's a foundational level of like really like getting to know ourselves enough without the opinions of other, expectations of others. Honestly, like what, just getting over like what our parents wanted us to be is hugely helpful for an adult, to not accidentally start dating your dad or mom. It's just like, we have to individuate enough to where I'm not just going from one trauma bond, which is usually our parental relationships, into another trauma bond, which is what I did for the longest time, you know, and then right. Which we all do, because it's like, that's how we learned how to love or how to receive love, was usually from some sort of contorted way because of how they were loved. You know, this isn't blaming anybody for anything. This is just how traumas pass through generations. And until we really haven't had a chance until recently to slow down enough and lift our head up and go, is there a more conscious way to do something? You know, previous generations are just trying to feed themselves and survive wars and build houses and like make begging, like praying that their crops were going to bloom so we had food. Like there was we weren't sitting around talking about self-esteem and really healing trauma. Our grandparents weren't doing that.
Right. And so people hear that and go, oh, wow, that's the 1800s she's talking about. Like my grandparents lived through the Depression.
Yeah.
And therefore my dad was raised by parents who lived through the Depression. Mm-hmm. So there was zero fucks given to how happy you were. No, zero fucks given to, like, it was, do you have a job? Cool. You're crushing life. Mm-hmm. Do you hate that job? Perfect. That doesn't matter. Well, that's, are they going to fire you? No. Cool. Keep going. So I just want to add that in, that she's not talking about like caveman times.
Yeah. Like way back in the day. Our own food. No, it was like recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very recently. And I think that that's a good perspective, especially for my generation of people to get, like, we have everything at our fingertips now. And like now, which, so we actually have a chance to look up and be like, wow, can I just craft an experience that's actually just exactly what I want? First of all, what a fucking blessing is that, that I have the tools. And pretty much, if you're listening to this, you have the tools in some way to lift your head up and question whether the way you are relating to the world and to yourself, we're in relationship to everything. So is the way that I'm relating to anyone, my family, my food, my home, my body, my boyfriend, is this healthy? Social media, like how am I relating to things? We do have the capacity to stop and pause and do that. And if we do, then I think it's just going to make everything that you are building in your life more solid if you heal some of those foundational wounds that are just inevitably passed down to us from our parents and from our initial relationships. So many of us have endured rejection and abandonment and betrayal of fear and guilt and shame in our formative years. And that just causes little bits of energetic leaks. And if those leaks aren't healed or, you know, like plugged up, so to speak, like we do not bandage them and actually heal them so that we can be a fortified whole human from the base of our body moving upward, so that then we actually have like a foundational place to handle the rest of the changes, because we're never going to be done. Like our whole life is learning. So I think that's where the mistake comes in, when we think like, oh, I'm going to like heal that and then life is good. You do heal for sure some of the foundational things. And then that just becomes the ground that we stand on to be able to handle the rest of our life. Like there's going to be way more hard shit. There's going to be way more. Like I remember one summer, might've been the summer you came to Costa Rica to help with the YTT. And I remember telling my ladies that summer, like, I recognize that my life is as easy as it's ever going to be right now. Mm-hmm. I have a dog who practically handles himself.
You can drive.
You can like truly last night we flew in and I was like, oh, I wish Folly could come pick us up from the airport. Aaron was like, that'd be awesome. I'm like, if he could, I bet he fucking would.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
He would. Yeah. Anyway, I remember saying like, my life is as easy as it could be right now. You know, I have very little responsibility. I mean, I have a full workload and and some responsibilities, but as easy as it can be, I don't have kids.
Right.
I don't have these things. And I'm really focused on healing the pieces of who I am so that I know who I am when I enter into a situation that's going to be more challenging than this. When I do enter into a relationship and my values are challenged or my identity is questioned, do I know how to hold myself in that, because relationship is a fucking dance. And if I don't know where my backbone is or my center of gravity, then it's just so easy to be thrown way off kilter. And I think that's when relationships crumble, or that's where we have no ground to stand on. So all of that to be said, I don't think we have to be totally finished, because we never get to be finished. No. But I do think some foundational work is necessary in order for you both, when you enter into a relationship, to stand on a ground that's solid enough to know, is this worth pursuing, and be like, is this worth dancing in this arena with you? Like, are we even trying to dance the same dance? Like, are we aiming in the same direction? Like, do we like the same things? Like, do we care, or are things just totally off and I want to fuck you? That's a different story, which is also totally allowed, but sure. It's not a conscious relationship in a lot of ways, as far as building something that's going to last for a long time. And then that comes in, like, can we be honest with ourselves about what we actually want? Because if I don't know who I am and I don't know what I want, I can't even enter into something casual that's conscious.
Right.
That was a long-winded answer.
No, it's a great answer, though. I think it doesn't get talked about.
Yeah.
Right. And you said women are really good about not taking space. I think I've shared with you that I remember I was about to sign my divorce documents, and I had been on the road for a year doing the Year to Live project. And my attorney, who was a woman, said, like, good for you. Because here's what happens with most men whose wives leave. They are dating their next wife within 90 days. And I my jaw hit the floor. I was like, they're dating, like, 3 months out of a marriage, and they're already, the next fiance is already lined up. She's like, yeah, most guys can't handle that level of rejection or shift in identity. Wow. So good for you. And I remember thinking about it and being, wow, I see how this happens. Mm. And yet also advise guys now, especially if you're coming out of a marriage, I don't know how long the time frame is, but you got to go to therapy. Like, you just have to go to therapy. Like, please just go to fucking therapy. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame about it. It's like, if your company ended, you'd want someone to come in and, like, audit your numbers. Like, oh, how did we not do well? Okay. We wouldn't be like, nope, good. Let's start another one and just rebuild in 90 days. So I agree with you. And I love, especially talking to men about this, to say, like, would you want to be a business partner with someone who's deeply in debt and just bleeding money? Mm. Like, no. Okay, would you want to be with someone who's flat broke? Nah, probably not. Or, like, would you partner with them in a business? Probably not, but maybe if the story fits. Would you want to be with someone who's thriving? Mm. Oh, okay, cool. Well, how does someone thrive? They have a really conscious view of their numbers, of what they're doing, of what their mission is, of what they're building in the world, of who they're selling to, of who their clients are. They've had to do a little bit of work to figure that shit out, haven't they? Okay, cool. Now let's take that same frame and put it on top of the relational context. Do you want to be the partner that's showing up and going, I am in so much debt, I am hemorrhaging money, but I really think that if you and I get together, that your ideas are going to be what saves me from debt. Like, you wouldn't want to have that partner for you. So don't be that partner. Man. And yet it doesn't, like, no one has to be like, oh, I've got $50 billion in the bank, so let's fucking do this. You have to be sovereign. You have to be solvent. You have to be okay in the world. And I think you hit it really well of, you have to be okay alone. And I know that's so cliche, but it's so true that I am not in a relationship because I need her attention. I need her affirmation. I need for her to be there for me to feel okay in the world. That is disgusting. Yeah. And it's so, I see it so often in other couples. I see it out in the world so often that, man, you guys aren't, you wouldn't be okay with a week by yourself, would you? Nope, not. And so that's such a good point, I think, to get to, because then you're honest, right? Like, you can't enter into something dishonestly, but yet you're not going to know if you're honest or not, unless you sat in a room for a little while and maybe a couple tears fell out and some, like, man, how was I responsible for that last thing fucking up? Okay. Mm-hmm. What's underneath that? Okay. Have I really worked on that? Well, I read a book. Well, did you do the exercises in the book? Oh, you told yourself you'd come back and do them later. Okay. Go to therapy. get some of this shit worked out. And this goes for both men and women.
Totally. Yeah.
If I can ask, when you and Aaron first sat down, was it conscious in that, really, like, hey, this is my intention. What's your intention? This is what I want long term. What do you want long term? Did you go through that series of questions?
Yeah. Everything. Yep. Yeah. We were very conscious of not even moving, honestly, even moving into flirtation without having like a lot of shit laid out on the table first. Mm. And I think that, you know, because of our history, that definitely there was a very slow entry because of not wanting anything to be like it was before. And just needing to figure out who we were with that much time, and 7 years can, or 6 years can change a lot in a person, like a lot. 1 year, 6 months can change. I've changed as much as in the year and a half we've dated. It's like, wow. So there was a lot of like respect for each other and just like bringing the honest truth to the table. Like, what had we been through and what was important now, and what's changed since, like, how is it actually different than before? So we spoke of everything, like vision in 5 years, 10 years. Mm-hmm. Do we want kids? Do we not want kids? We want marriage, not want marriage. Mm-hmm. Biggest lessons that we had learned in that time, religion, spirituality, our beliefs around God, things that light us up, things that we don't fucking like, hard no's, hard yeses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot. And I'm so grateful for it because... And even now we have those conversations because now things are they still evolve and change, right? And it's like, it's almost like every 3-ish months we do like a new, where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? Because I mean, I work for myself, so my career path continues to evolve and change as I evolve and change. And he does different work than me. So his is evolving and changing. And in order to stay close or intimate with each other, we have to reorganize the things that aren't as important to make sure that our relationship is still somewhere in the middle, or that is a value, a top value for both of us, and compromising on the things that are of lesser value, because relationship does take some compromise, which is not something I'm quite good at, but I'm getting better at it. And just recognizing there are things I will not, and there are things that I can, and out of just sheer love for him and for out of like the desire for a relationship to be something that continues, there are things that I will soften my edges around, which is also not something I would have ever said a couple years ago because I had some pretty hard edges, but the relationship has softened me, which is so nice. And before I saw that as a weakness, because I'd also spend a lot of time alone where it was like, now my power comes from being independent. And it's like, well, there's some of that that's true, but that also hardens me to the depth of life that I actually really want to swim in. So there's elements of that.
Beautiful.
There's so many tangents I could go on, but I want to keep it.
Hey folks, hope you're loving this conversation. Real quick, want to add that my book birthday is coming up here in August, and we're going to be doing a big hoopla, or doing some hoopla around it. But if you haven't had a chance to read this, please get your hands on Man Uncivilized. You can go to my website at manuncivilized.com/the book, or if you want to get it on Audible, it's on Audible. If you want it on Kindle, it's on Amazon. Get a hold of it and read it. This is still the number one thing that I've ever created that I get the most input from, more than the podcast, more than Instagram posts, more than anything. It's the piece that I've created that has saved marriages, men have said, women have said, has saved their lives, and has radically shifted the mindset of so many people. And so please get yourself a copy of it. If you have a copy of it, get someone else a copy of it. Please help me get the word out. Okay, back to Leela. What is your definition of a conscious relationship?
I think just consciousness in general has to be defined, because to me, living a conscious life would be the only way that I could move into anything else conscious. So for me, that is questioning the norms, like questioning everything that I was handed and was just told to believe. Really thinking, like, is that actually true for me or for the collective? Or am I just believing that because someone told me? And I've kind of had that thread in me, not kind of, I have had the kind of challenger, free thinker, like I'm going to analyze before I just assume that stance, because I'm not just going to take on what someone else has told me. And that has allowed me to find altitude or consciousness or aliveness or a state of awake, like an awakened state while moving through life, to really not let anything just hang out and hide itself in the shadows. Mm. I think that we get ourselves in such trouble just as people moving through the world to dismiss or like disassociate from pieces of ourselves that are true. Or really just like stay hidden. Like we think of, I was talking with someone the other day, or maybe even that was today, of like how many things we allow to go unconscious from our view, like where our garbage goes. If we actually thought fully about where our garbage went after it goes in the bag and gets taken away, we would make a change mm-hmm. with the way that we dispose of shit. Like garbage only has to go 7 miles off the US shore and then it can be dumped in the ocean. That's not me making it up to make you feel bad. That's like the reality, the conscious, like if I'm looking at the whole picture, that's what's happening. And there's so many areas of life where we're only choosing to look at a piece of something because it makes me happy mm-hmm. versus can I see the whole thing and learn how to be at peace with that? And if I'm not, change something. Mm-hmm. And I think just living consciously is meaning like I'm not going to just look at one spec because that suits my fancy. I'm going to look at the whole fucking thing and then learn how to be walk through life that aware and that sensitive and not feeling weak in that sensitivity and feeling like I can handle it and feeling like I can relate to others and also see other people's hologram of who they are as well. So I think coming into a conscious relationship is going, I'm going to know who I am completely, see all the parts of me, the good that I like, the bad that I don't, the shit I'm still working on, the stuff that I fortified into a lesson in gold for you to have and just marvel over. And I'm going to bring all that to the table, not as a hot fucking mess. Maybe occasionally it might come out like that, but for the most part, it's I'm aware of this, the entirety of who I am and what I've gone through. And from this place, I'm going to step onto a sacred stage with you and welcome all pieces of who you are too. Mm. Not just the version of you that I need you to be in order for my Instagram to look good, or not just the part of you that I like because it, you know, gives me attention or the affection that I need in that moment. All of you, mm-hmm. all of me, I'm going to bring forward and take responsibility for all of it. And then from that place, can I really be okay with what you're bringing forward? And can we find a common ground? I think that's another piece that happens with conscious relationship is that we want to make the other person into something that they're not because we really want to be with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that has definitely been, that was something in my dating days towards realizing like, I'm just going to wait until it's really right. Of like, I'm here conscious and I can pretty much fit you into what I want you to be my conscious partner. And then just being like, no, that can't, it's not. And I have to admit that it's not. And then trusting that there is going to be someone who really is capable of bringing their entire self forward as well, without shame or with the shame, and being there, you know, just being with it and not dismissing anything to the side. Every part is allowed here. Mm-hmm. So I think just having that full view, like I like to call it like an extra sober vantage point on what's happening. You know, like you get drunk, everything's like a little bit caved in and swirly. It's like the opposite of that. Like blinders are fucking off. And from that place, like just imagine the pleasure that you can feel, the expansion that can be there. But until we have the bravery or the courage to rip the blinders off and see things as they actually are, ourself and then other, that depth that we're looking for, that pure intimacy, can't be formed.
Mm. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What's beautiful.
Your definition of it? What do you think?
First, I love everything that you said, especially the super sober vision. Mm-hmm. I think that's, it was, I heard, and I might have shared this with you before, but I remember of like 10 second video clip of Gary Busey, the actor, who's been to hell and back with substances, saying sober stands for son of a bitch, everything's real. And that view of relationship, I think, falls in the conscious category as well. And my definition is, I think it's multi-layered. First, it's intentional, and the intention is honest. So I have to do the work in the background to know that when I stand in front of my partner or potential partner and say, hey, this is what I want, that I actually do want that. This is what I want for the relationship. This is my vision for the relationship. This is why I'm engaging you and engaging your time, your energy, your body, everything about you. This is my intention. So I think that's step one. The second piece is going to be that the relationship is going to serve as not only as a tool, but it serves as a tool for healing stuff that wasn't possible from past trauma bonds. So that's first and foremost, right? My partner, I'm not enmeshed in this person. She's not my therapist. And yet I can come to her and say, hey, this reminds me a lot about, of my childhood, of when this was happening, and it made me feel like shit, and it's making me feel like shit now. Is there a way we can reorient this so I can repattern that story so I don't feel ignored when I have something important to say? And then, so that's a big piece of it, of getting to kind of fill in some of those, you know, I like the image of a Jenga board, you know, like the Jenga thing with like the pieces missing. And I can say, hey, you know, I was ignored a ton as a kid and still kind of feel like that as an adult. So if I say, hey, there's this really important thing that I want to share with you, it's super helpful to me if you put down everything that you're doing and listen to me. That will actually help put some of those Jenga pieces back in from when I was a kid. So that's the possibility. And then the third piece of it is, holy shit, are we both going to get triggered in this whole deal? And the agreement is that we're going to work through that without abandoning, collapsing, or taking off on each other in the moment, in the day, or relationally. And it doesn't mean that people aren't allowed to exit their relationships, but it means that we're going to say, wow, fuck, I'm so angry right now. And it has nothing to do with what you just said, even though what you just said is triggering it. So please hang with me for the next 10 minutes while I talk through why I'm actually so fucking angry. And as opposed to, now I'm fucking angry, so I'm going to go slam the door and I'm going to go in the other room. And when you ask me what's wrong, I'm going to say nothing, I'm fine. And then I'm going to come out 15 minutes later and pretend that nothing happened, and then harbor these tiny seeds of resentment. So 3 months from now, when nothing happens and I get super pissed and then say things like, you always shut me down, or you never listen to me, that we have no idea what we're actually talking about. So to me, that's the conscious container.
Yeah.
It's part healing. And I don't want it to sound like this is all that it is, but it's a growth modality. I have used my relationship, and so has Katie, to grow immensely as humans, not just as lovers, not just as boyfriend and girlfriend, not just as partners, but as humans, because I have to sit there when every fiber of my being is saying, guess what? We can get the fuck out of here right now. We can drive off really fast. It'll be super dramatic. And instead go, I'm not okay. I just need to talk about this and I don't know what to say. Or to be the opposite and say, hey, I can tell that you're triggered as fuck right now. Why don't we take a couple breaths together? I'm not going anywhere. Let's actually figure out what this is about. One, perhaps it'll help you heal what it is, or two, we just now have a new pattern. So I'm not sure how to define that intentionality, but I think the intentionality is, one, there's going to be intentionality. I remember sitting on a couch across from Katie and saying, this is what I'm interested in with you. I'm not here to fuck around. I'm not here to have something casual. I'm not here to get to know you. I know you. I'm here to build this, and this. And this is what it looks like. And if that's something you want to be a part of, amazing. I want your input. I want you to take that vision I just gave you and add your flair to it, or change it in the way that works for you. I think that's what I hope people get, because when I look at the standard operating relationship, it's not that. There's zero intentionality. Nobody knows what each other wants. Everybody's, and I know I'm using huge generalities here.
Nobody knows what they want.
They don't know what they want. They don't know why they're upset. There's no stopping, pausing, and asking of really beautiful questions of, is this my stuff? Is this your stuff? Is this our stuff? And if, are we willing to kind of rise above the drama of the moment and look at it that way? And do we have the ability to rise above the drama of the moment and look at it? And if we don't, can we cultivate the ability? Or can one of us say, hey, I'm actually pretty calm right now. So I would love to just hear what's going on inside of you and with you. And I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to collapse. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to shut you down. And maybe we can be adults as opposed to two 130 plus pound toddlers. And
which that's the best way to handle it.
Yeah, which I am fully guilty of being in 99.9% of my past relationships, 99.9% of the time. Yeah. And can we co-create something that has room for growth, that has room for renegotiation, that has room for differences, which has, as you said, I need to be 100% me in my relationship, or I slowly start to shut down and then open up other doors outside of it, because we're going to see our needs are going to get met.
Yeah.
My partner needs to be 100% her, whether that's in this relationship or some other iteration of it. Right. So that's my thought. I think we both just conscious relationship definition ranted.
Yeah. I mean, it's important though. And there's so many elements that you touched on that were important of like finding the out, like understanding what's mine, what's his, what's ours. And I do think that there's a key amount of that we have to figure out prior to getting inside of a relationship. And then we can only really practice it when we're in one, but understanding how to regulate ourselves and to be with ourselves without needing, you know, because oftentimes we're just fed distraction after distraction in our life. So we don't really even know how to be with hard emotions. So we can't tell once we get inside of an unconscious relationship or we're trying to do a conscious one, but I haven't learned how to navigate my own emotions alone. So I'm just projecting all of my fear or disrupt or resentment that comes up inside of me onto my partner, which that doesn't do anything. That's not his responsibility to even handle. So even if he is the most sovereign conscious person, he's been handled a pile of shit he doesn't know how to navigate without two people navigating it, which does happen in a relationship, but there's so much that goes into just taking the time to slow down and not reach for a drink, not reach for the phone, not reach for Netflix, not reach for, and actually learn how to process and be with the feeling of life, which takes you back to like, what's it? Oh shit, everything is real. What
son
is it?
Of a bitch.
Son of a bitch, everything is real.
Right.
Yeah, and not that means you have to be sober for the rest of your life, but sober-minded life, I think, is extremely important, meaning like I am awake and present to what life is giving me. I'm not just downing a bottle of wine, which I have done before whenever emotions got high, didn't lead me anywhere I wanted to go. Or nowadays, it's like we grab our phone every 2 seconds, or we grab Netflix or something, and we just distract ourselves from what's really bubbling up inside of us when we're alone. And then sometimes in partnership too. And then if we just have a partner, then we'll just throw whatever it is that came up in us on that person. That's not conscious really relating. That is very unconscious. That is running from our feeling. And that doesn't actually help create intimacy. That creates separation, which means you are with someone and you feel totally fucking alone.
Yeah.
Which we've all been in those relationships. And that is such a depth of disconnect, and like just perpetuates pretty much all of our childhood trauma in one, or your first relationship, or any moment of abandonment when we are with someone and still feel alone, which I feel like a lot of I think it's one of the main traumas that we all suffer from, is like not feeling like we belong or that we're understood or that we're loved. And so not being able to handle and be with ourselves in those moments of emotional disrupt, is just going to cause issues in the relationship. But if you're in a relationship and you still don't do that, you can get better at handling what is yours.
For sure.
It's always an option. You don't have to exit your relationship, learn how to regulate yourself, and then come back to relationships again. You can do it. Anything's possible. And you just have an opportunity to practice it more often. So honestly, you could get real fucking good at it. Ninja-like regulating skills, co-regulating with the other person, regulating yourself and knowing the difference between the two. And then I wanted to share something. I was listening to Alan Watts the other day. Aaron didn't know who Alan Watts was. And I was like, oh, you will love him because Aaron's an engineer. He's like, I think we have the complete opposite brains. Yeah. I don't even know what engineers do. To me, they're like,
They just like do math. Yeah.
Yeah. Like math. Lots of equations with like letters and numbers and lines and small numbers. And I don't know, which I can't do any of that.
It makes sense to them. That's all we need to know.
Yeah. I'm like,
I'm the first male bone who didn't become an engineer. So I get it. And I was like, yeah, I don't get you guys. I write words. Yeah. They're pretty.
Feelings.
Make people feel things with words.
Yes, exactly. So we turned on Alan Watts the other day and it was like there was one on marriage and something I took from it and really it hit me because I have not been one to like, I think marriage is also something that is weddings. Let me take that back. Weddings is something that's blown out of proportion for our culture as women, to spend that much money on one day to just have fake eyelashes and a dress just blows my fucking mind. And so it's not been my avenue of like, oh, I will be happy when I have a wedding day. It's like,
right.
I want a relationship that feels fulfilling every fucking moment of every day. So I was watching this thing and he said, what if our vow to each other, and Aaron and I were like, oh, taking this, is that we, like, what if on our wedding days, we did choose to get married, like we just vowed that we would be honest about how we felt forever. Not I'm going to love you forever, or I'm going to think you're beautiful forever, or I'm going to emotions change. Emotions fucking change. But you could vow to be honest, meaning that forever I promise that I will be transparent about how I feel, whether I'm feeling disconnected or resentful or madly in love or passionate or angry. Like I promise that there will be transparency there. And I was like, wow, to have the capacity to trust life enough to know that this is something that, and I'm not sure if men do it, but women for sure feel like if we share our truth, the true truth, that life will stop. Mm. Everything will die. We will ruin everything by sharing the truth of who we are. Like
1,000%.
I'm going to ruin fucking
too. Yeah.
And it's just not fucking true. Mm. It's just not true. You will help the transparency, the authenticity, and the truth of the collective by being courageous enough to share how you feel, which is not being a fucking asshole. That's different. Sure. Being honest and being a bitch or being an asshole are two very different things. Yeah. I can share my truth with someone with grace and with love. And compassion. I absolutely can. But I have to know myself well enough and I have to trust myself, the other person, God, universe, life, that like life will go on.
Right.
If I own what my actual desire is, or if I share what my true emotion is, or if I really allow myself to be vulnerable or seen, like life will continue. And what I've learned now is that life will continue better.
Yeah.
So much better. So much clearer. You're
talking about intimacy, which is this thing that we all crave and derive the deepest and most richest nutrients from, and yet keep at arm's distance because the belief is, and I'm still working through this myself, so I'm not talking from an elevated point here, that if we actually engage with it, it will go further and further away. And so I think you've hit on such a good point of, are you willing to let this person see you fully, right? That's the risk. That's the requirement of conscious relationship. Mm-hmm. I joke with Katie that the best thing about a conscious relationship is that we have to talk about everything. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing about a conscious relationship is that we have to fucking talk about everything.
Yeah.
And there's this threshold that I still bump into. You're like, I don't want to talk about this. And then it's like this horrible, disgusting feeling that I want to just run out of the room and do deadlifts and pour beer on my face and smoke a joint and fuck five women and then come back to the conversation. I'm like, wow, I lived.
Yeah.
I told you a fear and now I feel closer to you. And this whole thing is uncomfortable, but wow, I feel really good. I feel like now I have a rep that I get to be me. And I, yeah. Wow. And you're still here. You're still in front of me. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's so important, especially, and I'm talking, you know, I'm a little bit older than you and have been divorced. How many people in this situation come to the understanding that my marriage ended because I wasn't able to be seen and I wasn't really willing to see my partner. So you said it, it's like the two projections weren't matching up with the reality. And so that necessitates like sideways behavior or yeah. necessitates diminished, it's like closing doors. Like, nope, now you don't get access to that part of me. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you said something and it didn't feel good. Okay. That's not for you anymore. Yeah. And there's this closing down. It feels like in standard relationship where the challenge is to then go to your partner and say, hey, this thing that you said, it really makes me want to shut that part off of me for the rest of my life with you because that moment hurt. And mm-hmm. so can we talk about this so I can keep that part open? Because if I close it, it starts to close other doors and windows. And then you're going to date like half of me or mm-hmm. marry half of me or the quote, like, I don't even know who you are anymore. Mm. Of course, because we're not sharing with each other.
Showing you, yeah.
Right? I'm not showing you. And perhaps it wasn't received. Mm-hmm. So there's good reason why I'm not showing you, right? Like it takes two people to even recognize or even call yourself out. Like, hey, I know in the middle of that story, I shut you down or I dismissed that thing that you said. Mm-hmm. I think I fucked up. I'm sorry. Tell me more about that. Or tell me why this is important to you. Mm-hmm. Right. Or it takes you saying like, hey, you know what? I was telling you this thing that was really important to me and you kind of shut me down. And so I'm in this place where I feel like I don't want to tell you things that aren't important to me, but they need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So I can either share them with you or I can start telling my secretary. She mm-hmm. listens to me and oh my gosh, she makes me feel important. Mm-hmm. What do you know? Now she's pregnant. And we wonder why this shit happens in relationships. Right?
It's funny and it's not fucking funny.
It's funny, but it's funny. Not.
Yeah.
When I hear about people who are, this is their life, we go, well, what are you getting from that affair? What are you getting from this group of people that you don't have with your partner? Like, oh, they see me. Mm. And this is, I think, even more important. They see me and they celebrate me. Mm-hmm. And that's such a challenge with relationship. If your partner's like, hey, this thing that's super important to you, I really don't fucking care. Which is the undercurrent of a lot of conversation. It's the undercurrent of a lot of just relationship challenges that we get across our desks of like, hey, why isn't he into this thing? Or why isn't she into this thing? And I'm not saying you guys have to be into the same thing. What I'm saying is you have to be into the fact that the person is into that thing mm-hmm. and celebrate them for being into that thing. Mm-hmm. Isn't it easy to kind of watch the like reverse engineer why the relationship, especially with infidelity or especially with like, oh, wow, now she's in love with somebody else or he's in love with somebody else. And they're like, oh, that person sees them. That person accepts them. So I think this is the risk too of conscious relationship. You got to put your fucking cards on the table, which is scary as shit. Mm-hmm. Especially for those of us who love to be like, well, see these four cards? Yeah. Well, they just live here, right?
You don't get to know.
I just tuck them behind my back. And every once in a while, one like peeks over the corner and we're like, oh, sorry, let me tuck that back. Or I just like, I don't have that card. Yeah. Right.
When the reality is, if we actually want, like, what we're really looking for is somebody that sees and celebrates us, but then because of trauma and because of our wounding or rejection, abandonment previously, we're hiding those things, the things that we deeply want someone else to worship, to love, to air out, to dry, to like, to be with, to love those, like, it's just the missing pieces of ourselves. And when all of that comes to the table and someone, we trust someone else to bring them to the table, the completion or the healing can really take place because it's like they're in the corner festering. But really, if someone just embraced them and celebrated them, maybe they wouldn't even be a big thing anymore. They would just be a simple part that was integrated and part of who we are. So trust is such a huge element to learning how to trust ourselves and then learning how to trust someone else, knowing what to ask, what to talk about in the beginning stages of a relationship or just in a relationship now when you realize like, ooh, shit, things aren't going the way that I want. Figuring out how to cultivate the courage, the self-trust and the trust in the other person, that what you bring to the table will be heard and seen. And then if it's not, knowing how to act gracefully to make the changes necessary to step out of the relationship in a conscious way as well. A conscious relationship doesn't mean it lasts forever either, which is a whole nother topic that we could get into, but we won't right now. But I would say that like knowing who we are is the most important thing to start with, and learning how to trust yourself, to trust other people, and to do whatever we need to do with our shit that keeps us from trusting life, each other, and ourselves, so that we can have even just the smallest chance of bringing what our truth is forward. We have to understand what that truth is to begin with, and then trust that our truth will not ruin the fucking world. It'll actually make it better. It will uplift our relationship. It will give someone else something to celebrate. Right. And then by bringing our own truth forward like that, we start to honor other people's truth more too. Like there's so much, like I said, Aaron, different, totally, totally different fucking human. And I love so many aspects of who he is. I would never think to do shit most of the way that he does them. Some of them annoy me to no end, and most of them are incredible attributes to the life that we live together. And I'm like, wow, I would like just never think to do it. And I'm sure, I cannot even imagine. It's also like a very humbling act to, our ego gets totally smashed in a conscious relationship as well, which is like a whole nother thing. And I know we're on a time crunch. So the ego though really has no place inside of a conscious relationship. The soul and unconditional love is the only thing that will remain if you're really doing it consciously. Right. Our ego just gets pummeled. And that's what feels like nausea. And that's what feels like the upper lip sweat immediately. That's what feels like you just ate a fucking brick.
Yeah.
Is the ego not wanting to die. But love is the only truth at the end of the day. I truly believe that. And I feel like everything I learned up until the point of getting into a relationship just gave me enough strength to be able to humbly surrender my ego every time I think I'm the one that's right.
Right. 1,000%.
Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and over again. And sometimes I hold on to it and I'm like, I'm going to lock myself in the room and I'm going to sit with why I don't want to let you in. In my heart, but also in this fucking room. I'm going to be with this for a minute until I can recognize it's just fear. That if I open up to you, I'll have to let love reach a place that it's never reached before. But that's what I think the world needs, is for love to reach places it hasn't reached. So if I can't do it in my relationship, how can the world, can I tell anyone else that I think that's what they should do?
Right. And what a great training ground for you being in the world. Because you have a relationship with a partner, but you will be in relationship with thousands and thousands, if not millions of people at some point throughout your life or throughout your entire life. And so the exact same skills that you're getting to foster in this sort of high pressure environment, because it fucking matters to you and you love this person and you care about them and he can hurt you. And if you do separate or you do, the relationship does end, it requires a massive amount of time, energy, money, and emotion to break that up. You know this in the back of your mind. So then I think it's a beautiful thing then when someone sends you a shitty message on social media, you're like, oh, you're projecting like a motherfucker. Have a great day. As opposed to letting that, it's such good training, right? It's such, such good training. And I agree with you that it feels like we've reached an evolutionary point, that if we don't, as a culture, shift into a stage of conscious relating, we're not really going to survive as a species. Because it requires that consciousness that can only be developed and fostered in a relational sense or in a relational container, is what we need to take out and have with children, with the planet, with nature, with food, with our garbage, which all the things are with all the things that you just mentioned, with our countries, right? Like we can't have deeply conscious relationships and then accept the relationship we have with our politicians or with people who are making change in our world. It just, that doesn't happen. Yet if we stay unconscious in relationship, I think it's very easy for us to overlook all the things that you mentioned. Leela, I know time is an issue, but I would love for people, anybody listening to this, Leela and I are doing an event on July 17th in Los Angeles, which we're, I think, halfway sold out. So check and see. I'll throw a link in this, but basically you can go to Eventbrite or either of our Instagram pages, and it's in our link trees. And then we have a big event coming up in September.
Yeah.
Here in Steamboat, Colorado, where we're going to be talking about all of this stuff and taking a small group of people. I guess it's like a 5-day thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a biggie.
It's going to be awesome. We did this 2 years ago, but it'll be definitely different because our
going to be a little bit different after. Yeah.
I mean, but that was super powerful too. That was incredible.
So
but
powerful, right?
Super. I feel like we've been on such pivots and found this like area that I feel like is super important, which I know that you feel the same way. Really mending that relationship so that we can start to relate to all of life in a more sacred, wholesome way.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. That's September 17th through 21st, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that will have, I'll throw show notes in, but are you going to have that on your web, website?
It'd be good. July 1st.
Go to leeladilla.com and you can find that workshop. And we'll also be talking about it a number of times on social media, et cetera. Leela, I love you. I'm so grateful to have you in my life. I'm so glad that you invited me to, was it Sedona?
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, 3 years
ago? Hit or miss. That had to be more than 3 years ago because
I have the picture of you like, flexing in my shirt.
Yeah.
So
it could have been a total disaster. Combined doing a workshop. It was a total success. So chain of great events. I appreciate you so much. And the work you're doing is so valuable from every woman who is looking for a good man. We appreciate you and the whole nation and everything.
Thank you. I'll chat with you soon. Love you. Bye. This is Trevor Boehm signing off on another episode of the Uncivilized Podcast. If you enjoyed this, please give us a share, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. And if you're interested in getting a hold of my book, Man Uncivilized, whether you're a man or a woman, please go to www.manuncivilized.com/the book and get reading.